It started actually when we were in prayer, pre-service prayer, and I'm going to try to tie all this together, and I just really, I need to get out of the passion. I need to go into the Amplified so I can get where I want to be. So this morning, and it was interesting, like what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. And then it was like all the songs use the same wording and the same verbiage. And Lene and I never talk about, or Ann and I either, what... It's not like we line up things. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's all led. And I love when God does that because it's just like, it's just a beautiful thing. When you're seeking his heart. And no, he just lines it up. I'm going to start in Ezekiel 47. And I've shared this so many times, but I really felt like in my heart this morning that... that I just need to share this again. Then he, my guide, brought me back to the door of the house. I hate when he does this. I mean, I love it, but I hate it. Because I really have no idea what's going on. I really don't. It's probably Steve's fault, because he was like this too. And I'm like him. Because he was like his dad. And he lived the goodness of God. And, yeah, anyway, so, all right, here we go. So I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he's doing. And because I don't want to hinder him. So, and I hate crying. Like, I didn't grow up crying. So, it's funny that he chooses to humble me. And anyway, and the water flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gates by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was spurting out from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. So Ezekiel was being led, so he had to follow, right? This vision or this experience that he was having, he had to be willing to follow. Keep that in mind. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. So Ezekiel continued to follow. He measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water. Now it was water reaching the hips. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed by wading. So he followed him, and he led him out, and he led him deeper and deeper and deeper into the place where he couldn't wade anymore, to a place where his footing was not sure. To a place where in his own strength, he could not keep moving. And I would like to suggest this morning, and what I really felt like God was putting on my heart this morning is surrender. Obedience right? He followed. But he had to come. He brought him to a place where it was something more than just obedience, but it was surrender. And it was surrendering his ability to wade, his own ability to walk, his own ability to do anything. And I find it interesting that it was only after he could have brought him out at any point. Look at that. He could have brought him out after he was ankle deep. He could watch what he says. He says here, after, and he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" He could have pulled him out at ankle deep and said, "Son of man, have you seen this?" He could have pulled him out at knee deep, where it was in his own strength, right? Where he could still have his own footing. He could have pulled him out at hip deep and said, "Have you seen this?" But he waited. I think there's a significance in that he waited until it was at a place where Ezekiel could not wade through it, but it was deep. Now listen, this is what then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the Dead Sea, and the waters of the Dead Sea shall be healed and become fresh." It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. But not the ankle deep, not the knee deep, not the hip deep, but the deep, and what he's saying, the depths of surrender is where this flows. The depths of surrender, that we're willing to surrender. And you know, everyone talks about sacrifice, but I feel like if we would just surrender, we probably wouldn't need to sacrifice. If we lived in a place of surrender, it wouldn't feel like sacrifice. And sacrifice comes because we live in disobedience for so long that then it feels like sacrifice. And there will be a very great number of fish because these waters go there, so that the waters of the sea are healed and become fresh, so everything will live wherever the river goes, and it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it. They will fish and be very many kinds. And then by the river on its banks, no one on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They shall bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. And I just believe with everything in me. And we don't talk about surrender anymore. We don't talk about those kinds of things anymore. And it's just, but surrender, I looked up the word surrender, and here's what it means. To yield to the power, control, or possession of another. To give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another. To give oneself up into the power of another. Surrendering to him. Letting him take control. Letting him lead us from where we've been into where he wants us to go. Because his promise, his heart, his desire is for the things that are on the riverbank. The fruit, the trees that bear fruit for 12 months. Lack, poverty, barrenness, you know, all of those things are not what he created us for. And we settled for them because of our human condition and because of our lack of understanding and our lack of knowledge and our unwillingness to surrender control. Because we know best. Because we know best. And I find it interesting. And then he took me to John. And these tie together. And then he took me to John 15. So right here, at the end it says, they shall bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. This is us. When we live in this place of surrender, this is what our lives will do and will be. Not just for ourselves, but for those that we come in contact with. So go to John 15. Tie these together, Daddy, because you told me to go here. So here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And he prunes so that it will bear fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit. And I would like to use the word remain also with surrender. How do you remain in the vine? It's surrendering to the vine. You can't fight the vine and then remain. You can't fight the vine and expect to remain and bear fruit. You weren't created to fight the vine. As he grafted us into the vine, we then are one with the vine. And to remain in the vine, we have to remain surrendered to the vine and to the vine dresser. Amen? We have to remain surrendered to the one who prunes us. But see, if we don't understand his goodness, we won't understand his pruning. We'll get all kinds of beliefs about him that aren't right. If we don't understand his goodness, we will misunderstand his pruning. That's a good word. If we don't understand his goodness, we won't understand his pruning. And we'll believe it's harsh. We'll believe it's because we've done something wrong. We'll believe it's because of whatever the things that the enemy comes and tells us. But really, if he prunes us, it's only because he loves us and because he desires us to remain. And he knows that the only way to remain is to prune. Sometimes the pruning, it hurts our flesh. The pruning sometimes hurts it offends our minds. Jesus said, I've come to offend the mind, to reveal what is in the heart. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Fruit 12 months out of the year, I would say. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers and dies. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this. When you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my disciples, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teachings, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. If you're lacking joy, you're probably not remaining. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me here, and let me tell you, joy has been kind of far from me lately. He says, I have told you these things, meaning everything I just read about remaining in the vine, and he is the vine, and we are the branches, and if we remain in him, these things that he says, remaining is where our joy will be made full and complete and overflowing. surrender is where our joy will be made complete and full and overflowing. But in order to, you have to trust his goodness. You have to trust his goodness. You have to trust him in what he says to be able to surrender. And I wanted to read to you what the word remain meant. I really like definitions. To be a part, not destroyed, taken, or used up. To remain, to be a part, to be something yet to be shown, done, or treated, to stay in the same place or with, to stay in the same place with the same person or group. It's Webster, right? But I just felt like the two I just feel like the two go together, like the river and the how it wasn't until he was fully surrendered, like fully engulfed, that it was a river that he couldn't even wade in it anymore. Tied then to, right, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and how if we remain in him, then everything that we need we'll have. And this is what I'm after. I want fruit 12 months out of the year. I want my joy to be full and my, right, overflowing even. Not just for me, but for those that I come in contact with, for those that are out there, those that don't understand this principle yet, those that don't understand that there's more out there. So I just really felt this morning like he's calling us to just a deeper level. And you know, if you're ankle deep, just walk out to knee deep. You know, like I like to just jump in the deep end. That's just who I am. And I like to jump and then look. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. But I'm just saying, let's just surrender. If we're ankle deep, let's just surrender and walk out knee deep. Because I desire for this place and all of us to where the river goes, where the river goes, there is healing. Where the river goes. I want to read that again just because I like the river. I don't mean for this to come across heavy if it's coming across heavy. I really don't. The burden, God, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if there's any heaviness, if it feels like there's any heaviness attached to this, I just sever that, because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. And if we're yoked to him, aka remain in him, right, then whatever we're carrying, whatever's going on, he's with us. But I just want to read again. By the river on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. This is us. If we allow the river of God, if we surrender to the things of him, then this is, by the river on one side and the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They shall bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And I would suggest to you that what allows the river to flow is surrender. What keeps the floodgates of heaven open is just surrender. Laying down over and over, surrendering to Him, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. One more thing. This has nothing to do with any of this. But I thought it was neat, and I want to share it. I'm going to go to Luke 7. So this has nothing to do with what I just shared, but it's good. So I just want to share during worship, and I heard a message where a guy shared this, and I want to share this because it was amazing, I thought. Let me find it here. Luke 7. Anyway, well, it's just about the woman who Jesus was in the house of the Pharisees, and she came in and she broke the alabaster jar, and she washed his feet with her tears and her hair, and I just like that. That's our worship. I feel like that's our worship, and the cool thing that I heard somebody share is that when that woman entered in and she did that, and the Pharisees, you know, they judged her, but the beautiful thing that I'd never realized or never heard taught like this before is that when she went in, she just wanted to pour everything out onto Jesus, right? She wanted to give him everything, and she did that, and when she left, she smelled just like him. I've never heard that before. And it's just so God. It's just so God that we would come with all our brokenness, all of and everything that we have, and we pour it out on Him. And then when we leave smelling like Him. And I really feel like that's our worship. And I know sometimes it may feel really deep and heavy and all of that, but I really felt like this morning, especially, like this is our worship. The woman with the alabaster jar, broken, in the midst of. Willing to enter a place that she was not even supposed to go. She wasn't even supposed to be in that house. Like, in those times, that was not heard of. She was willing to risk whatever could happen to her. I don't know what their laws were. I mean, she was probably risking a lot more than just the vial of incense or whatever perfume that she had saved for to break over him. And her worship challenged the religious in the house. Her worship challenged the religion in the house. Her worship challenged the religion in the house, and it made the religion in the house uncomfortable. It made the areas that Jesus came to set us free from uncomfortable. It made the areas that Jesus wanted us to be set free from uncomfortable. So much so that it began to lash out at her. So much so that it began to accuse her. And it began to then even not just accuse her, but it beginning to question if Jesus really was who he said he was. You know what they said? If this man was really a prophet, he would know who was touching him. If this man was really, so not only did her worship make the religious so uncomfortable, it caused it to accuse. That's not fun. I've been in those situations. But it's fun. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm telling you, all your religious followings and teachings and all of that, but what this woman right here did is what is going to be spoken of throughout eternity. This one thing that she did, all of the things that you did and thought you did and followed and crossed your T's and dotted your I's, all those things, I'm telling you, what this woman right here did is what is going to be spoken of throughout eternity. Worship is vital. Coming to his feet in surrender and pouring everything out, leaving nothing back, holding on to nothing, but pouring everything out, no matter who's around. Well, God, I just thank you for this morning. And I thank you for who you are. And I thank you that your goodness, God, please, please, please give us a better understanding and a better revelation of your goodness. So that we can remain in you, so that we can understand your pruning, so that we can understand when we surrender to you, what that really means and what that really looks like and how beautiful surrender is, because it's such a beautiful thing to surrender to you and to dance with you and to follow your lead. I just thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I thank you that you've given your angels charge over us and that you go with us. And just continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. And just, again, God, I just ask that you would give us a greater revelation of who you are so that we can have a better understanding of who we are in you. So that we can see you rightly, so that we can see each other rightly. We just love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.